Welcome, listeners, friends, and members of the First Universalist Unitarian Church of Wausau. It is Sunday morning, June 7th, 2020. I want to thank all of you for joining us wherever you are, whether you're on a run or sitting there as you think you must be at 10:30 in the morning on Sunday. I'm just grateful that you chose to worship with us. This morning, I am joined by Margaret Jers and Julie Trombley, and a guest vocalist, Wendy Galbraith. I'm delighted that they are here, and it is good to be in fellowship in these unique and trying times. If you're following along at home and you have the order of service that we emailed to you and posted on our Facebook page, I would like to invite you to join me in reciting our congregation's chalice lighting. And the words begin, "We light this chalice for the light of truth, the warmth of love, and the fire of commitment. We light this symbol of our faith as we gather together. And now you're welcome to sing, We Do Not Stand Alone."
Thank you.
This morning's reading is a poem entitled Couples Counseling by Jess Reynolds. And the poet writes, "Every Thursday, God and I go to couples counseling. He usually grumbles, 'Beloved, I have billions of souls to look after. I don't have time for this.' I always say, 'You have all the time. That's one of the perks of the whole God thing.' I always win. Priya, our therapist, tells me maybe winning shouldn't be my goal. Okay, maybe. But you try being in holy communion with a God who's always right. All I want, I say, is for you to really listen. Maybe let my prayers change your great plan. This is not all I want. I would also love if he took the trash out occasionally without being asked. But Priya says it's best to be realistic. If I'm honest, it's the closeness I'm missing. Not just the light, giddy joy from when we first found each other, but the quiet, holy mornings we used to spend in worship or going for neighborhood walks or when we were really lucky, sleeping in past 8. He and I are both busier now, and I don't know if date night will fix this, no matter what Priya says. Still, we make dinner reservations and we come back to the couch in this office every Thursday afternoon, and he and I keep reaching out for one another, praying that someday we'll both find our way back home."
Lately, when I look out at the world, I see pain. On top of suffering, on top of fear, on top of anger and hate, on top of injustice and oppression. Every day, the news seems to get worse, and people seem to get more divided. It would be easy to become overwhelmed with all that suffering, or even fall into despair. At times like this, my spiritual practice of meditation and centering become even more important to me. Not as an escape from the suffering around me, but as a way for me to ground myself and prepare to be more fully present to others, to face whatever the day might hold. A spiritual practice is any activity or attitude that you regularly engage with the intention to deepen the quality of your relationship with yourself, the miracle of life, or your interpretation of the divine. As with anything in Unitarian Universalism, no one tells you how, when, or even that you should engage in a spiritual practice. There is a general consensus that having some form of practice is helpful in life and on the spiritual path. A spiritual quest can be compared to an artist's quest. If you want to really make progress, you need to practice regularly and often. Good musicians practice every day. That same is true of us as spiritual seekers. If you want to make progress on your spiritual path, we need to practice. And regular spiritual practices or exercises are how we progress. Spiritual practices can help us feel more calm, be more available to ourselves and others, be more loving, find more satisfaction and meaning in life, have a deeper connection to that sacred something known by many names, or get in touch with the purposes of our lives. When we're thrown off balance, like most everyone I talk with lately is, a regular spiritual practice can help us stay grounded or return to our center. For that reason, a regular spiritual practice might even be more useful in the chaos we're currently experiencing. Spiritual practices are wide-ranging in the UU community and could include meditation, prayer, sacred reading, yoga, running, anti-racism work, recycling, quilting, chopping vegetables, washing dishes, singing, and almost everything in between. UU minister and author Eric Walker Wixom says this: "Not everything we do is a spiritual practice, yet almost anything we do can be a spiritual practice, something that moves us toward more spiritual living." I was curious what spiritual practices members of our congregation engage. So earlier this week, I asked people to share on our member Facebook page. My intention when posting was to share the responses as a list, but the descriptions were so beautiful that I decided to share them intact. Joyce Kurth shared, "I try to begin every day with a cup of coffee and the view of my porch and the trees beyond. I love watching the light shift with the changing seasons, keeping me grounded and grateful." Roxanne Borneman wrote, "My spiritual practice is a daily silent meditation, a yoga interlude, and reading or writing. It might include old diaries from my family, favorite poets or authors on servant leadership to self and others. The practice is gentle and calm, or moves to more energized levels." Kate Passano shared, "My spiritual practice is living my faith through action, actively growing through the UU principles. It's helpful to me because I'm growing and feeding my soul while humbly becoming the best I can, doing the best I can to love, honor, and care for everyone and everything around me." Anita Stahl wrote, "My spiritual practice is my daily early morning walk in the park. It's quiet, meditative. I can cry and laugh out loud and usually not be disturbed. It's my thinking about lifetime and all that is and all that will be, because life is all around me." Joni Hahn shared, "Daily walks with our dogs is such a contemplative practice. And as it must take place year-round, we can enjoy the beauty of the seasons. Yes, even the blowing and drifting snow and the hot, humid days. Pups remind us that it's all the beauty of the earth." Jody Meyer wrote, "Every day, mostly morning's early light, but whenever the time allows, I set myself outside, preferably near flowing water or among a stand of trees, and move toward the silence. I strive to hear the voice of our mother. It helps place me in order, pick the locks on thoughts unborn, and reveal connections previously unfelt." Diane Walker shared, "Nearly every day, Steve and I go to our designated yoga room with its meditative music, light and incense, and read something meaningful to contemplate for the day and to start our yoga practice. We end with meditation. For me, this is a way to honor the spirit in each of us and to start my day with peaceful thought and rhythm." I love the beauty and diversity expressed in those responses. Thank you to everyone who shared their practice with us. It's not too late to join that conversation. You can still head over to the member Facebook page and post. There's no one right path to deeper spirituality. There are many right paths, and the one you choose may serve for a while and then need to be changed. They do not have to be set in stone. Spiritual practices can evolve and change as circumstances of life change. They can be flexible. I would describe my own spiritual practice as eclectic. I like to try new things, and I regularly change up the details. Some things about my practice stay the same. It usually happens first thing in the morning, and it usually involves some form of seated meditation. But recently, I had a conversation with a retired UU minister. I told her that among the current chaos of the world and my life, I was having a really hard time sitting for a silent meditation practice. She shared with me that when life becomes overwhelming and frustrating, she frequently engages a spiritual practice that I'll call rage prayer. In this practice, she calls on her understanding of the divine, either through writing or speaking a one-sided rant that starts with something like, "How dare you?" and ends with something like, "You do something to take care of this mess." Her description reminded me of Jess Reynolds' piece, Couples Counseling, which you heard earlier. A regular time to hash it out with the divine. If you'd like to experiment with a new spiritual practice, there are two books I would suggest. Everyday Spiritual Practices, edited by Scott Alexander, and Faithful Practices, edited by Eric Walker Wickstrom. They both include essays of UUs describing their spiritual practice. If you're looking for more direction around your spiritual practice, Eric Walker Wickstrom describes 8 spheres of spiritual practice. He suggests that we vary our practice to include items from 8 different realms to live a full and well-rounded spiritual life. The 8 spheres are as follows. 1. Personal daily practices like the ones already mentioned. 2. Communal practices like regularly attending worship. 3. Partnership practices like a small group or regular meetings with a teacher, minister, or even a therapist. 4. Mind practices that include thinking and learning. 5. Body practices where your physical self is involved. 6. Soul practices that use imagination and creativity, like drawing, painting, sculpting, music, or poetry. 7 is life practices, where we integrate our spiritual beliefs into everyday interactions, at home, in our workplace, school, or even interactions with strangers. 8, justice practices, where you engage in the work of helping to heal our all too broken world. If you're looking for more structure in your spiritual practice, UU minister and author Arvid Straub suggests the following spiritual maintenance schedule: that once a day, you spend 10 to 30 minutes in a private practice. That once a week, you observe a Sabbath day, where you take a day free of obligations or work to rest, reflect, enjoy loved ones, good food, reading, praying, attending or listening to worship services, or whatever else renews and fulfills you. He suggests that at least once a month, you meet with a group that nurtures your spiritual development, such as a men's or women's group, a meditation group, 12-step program, a Soul Matters group, whatever you find nurturing. And lastly, Straub suggests that at least once a year, you take a 3 to 10 day retreat away from home, whether that's at an official retreat center, an Airbnb, in the wilderness, or even at your hunting camp. My hope for you is that you are finding moments of calm and centering as you go through your days, whether with the use of a spiritual practice or some other strategy. Without those regular centering moments, it becomes too easy to fall into overwhelm or even despair. I want to leave you today with a poem. Reading poetry was one of my first regular spiritual practices and is still one of my favorites. This poem is titled On the Brink and was written by Leslie Takahashi. All that we have ever loved and all that we have ever been stands with us on the brink of all that we aspire to create. A deeper peace, a larger love, a more embracing hope, a greater generosity of spirit, a deeper joy in this life we share. Please join us in singing hymn number 123, Spirit of Life. Our closing words today are from Frederick E. Gillis. May the love that overcomes all differences, heals all wounds, puts to flight all fears, reconciles all who are separated, be in us and among us, now and always.